Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009. I am, of course, GF2 and Mike. And joining me is a longtime old friend. It is Mr. I'm Old Schools, a.k.a. Sean. How the hell have you been?
I'm still breathing.
That's right. That's a good thing. And Sean and I are here tonight to talk about 2019's Ford versus Ferrari.
Look out there. Out there is the perfect lap. You see it?
I think so.
Most people can't.
Carroll Shelby,
maybe?
Lee Iacocca, Ford Motor.
Suppose Henry Ford II wanted to build the greatest race car the world's ever seen to win the 24 hours of Le Mans. What's it take?
Well, it takes something money can't buy.
Money can buy speed.
What in about speed?
You need a pure racer behind the wheel of your car. That's Ken Miles.
I don't trust him an inch.
We heard he's difficult.
No, Ken's a puppy dog.
No.
Whatever it is, Shell, no.
Trust me.
You're going to build a car to beat Ferrari with a Ford.
Correct.
And how long did you tell them that you needed? 200-300 years?
90 days.
This isn't the first time Ford Motors has gone to war. We know how to do more than push paper. Go ahead, Carol. Go to war.
Thank you, sir.
Do you think you can beat Ferrari?
Not control.
We're lighter, we're faster. That don't work, we're nastier.
Make history.
You ready?
I was born ready, Mr. Shelby. Hit it.
I was skeptical with this movie when I first saw, like, I didn't see it until like 2 years after it released. I didn't see it till like 2021.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way. I mean, the preview did look good, but it just, for whatever reasons, it just didn't hit me like it should have. But once I started watching it, I was very impressed.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, it's an impressive film. And I'm looking down the cast list, and I'm like, holy crap. You've got Matt Damon, Christian Bale, and John Bernthal. So you've got a former Batman in Christian Bale and a former Punisher in John Bernthal. It's like DC versus Marvel.
Yeah, and makes you wonder where they pulled Matt from, although he does do a great Shelby.
Oh, he does an amazing Shelby. He's the only one I could imagine being Shelby.
It's funny because I have been a fan of Shelby my whole life because I'm into cars like no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I have followed every car that Shelby has ever been into, and especially when he took over Chrysler and started doing cars with them. And you know, you just don't know much about a person. You just know he's a car guy. But then when you watch this movie and see how crazy he was and wild, I mean, it kind of makes you realize why he did create the cars he did, because it was just the way he was.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just so fun. So folks, for those of you that don't know, and most of you don't know, since this is Sean's debut episode here on the Geekcast Radio Network, he and I have been literally longtime friends 20 plus years. I actually used to live with him back in the early 2000s, and we used to game and do all kinds of stuff and everything else. I remember, was it last year? It was either last year. Yeah, no, it was last year, because that game came out in 2002. I'm like, oh, look, dude, it's 20 years of America's Army, because we used to play America's Army all the damn time.
Oh, yeah, it is. You have to say, I mean, Mike, he always got shot. It was just as funny as could be, but it made for hours and hours of pure fun. And then you can't really say the best thing about it was we lived right down the street. Mm-hmm. From what Mike called Rot Gut.
Yep.
It was Mr. Gaddy's Pizza. Gaddy's Pizza. It was great, man. We'd go in there, we'd have lunch. It was all you need buffet.
Yep.
And then we get done, go home, and just
game all night.
Yeah, good stuff, man. It's just really good stuff.
Yeah, the good old days. And like Sean said, he's always been into cars, and I can't even count. And in just the 2.5 years that I lived with you guys at the time, I can't even count how many cars he had, y'all. Like, every different damn sports car came in and out of that driveway at some point or another.
It was fun when I got the Corvette and...
Mm-hmm.
Came to get you, because that's when you were living right down the street.
Yep.
And we were talking about, you were getting ready to move to another place, and it's like, I have this, but I don't think we're going to get much in this. So
no.
But we did something else. I can't remember what it was, but
I don't remember.
I don't think you liked that car very much.
A lot of those cars, they're too, like, I don't need a car that's like monster truck height. Like, I don't need a Bigfoot or anything, but like some of the low cars where it's like I'm basically sitting on the pavement, even though you're not, you're on the seat in the car, but like, and then that torque or that kick when you just go from 0 to 60 in less than 3 seconds, it's like, holy, it's like this movie. You better hold on, Mr. Ford. What are you talking about? You're going to be screaming by the end of this ride.
I wasn't as crazy as he was, though.
No, no, but very, very close.
But, God, could you imagine just to get some of the chances they had in this movie? But look at the competitor they were going up against. I mean,
Ferrari.
Flawless. Yeah. Flawless back in the day.
Yep. Yeah, so when I watched this, I was like, oh, okay. I knew Ford had a racing division. I knew Ferrari was racing cars and everything else. But, like, before I watched the movie and after I watched the movie at the time, and even now rewatching it, I was like, I have to do some more research into this, because the last time I checked, Ford had Rangers and Escorts and, you know, just the everyday division of cars. And I'm like, oh, the racing division, interesting. And then, like you said, Ferraris have always been Ferraris. They've always been a racing powerhouse. I like this movie. I think this movie is fun.
Yeah, it's basically what it comes down to is just bigger head, you know, egos. And Mr. Ford was like, look, whatever we got to do. We don't have it, invent it. We didn't have a racing team, which they didn't.
Yep.
And so that's where it was born. And now, you know, look at it from way back when all the way till today. They are still as competitive in every field of auto racing that exists. And it's all because the guy who was in charge of, or who owned Ferrari, made a comment.
So, yep.
And it pissed Mr. Ford off. It's amazing what can get somebody to sink so much money into a division, all because he got upset.
Yep. And the fact that, Iacocca had proposed to Ford that they buy Ferrari. I couldn't imagine Ford buying Ferrari.
That, you know, I can't either. But they had, Ford has bought a lot of companies. And, you know, one I was surprised with when it happened was Jaguar. But you look at the other spectrum of Chrysler and Dodge and, you know, now they're owned by Stallings or something like that. I don't know the exact name, but basically they have, I mean, so many car lines under them. It used to be GM, Ford, and Chrysler. And that was the big three. That's all you had to worry about. And GM used to dominate because they had so many brands under one name. Ford just had Lincoln. And basically, Chrysler had Dodge. And now, today, Chrysler has, well, somebody has Chrysler along with that, like Mercedes and just top-notch cars. I mean, I wanted to say that there was, I don't think it's Lamborghini. It may be. I'd have to double check. But they own, like, one of those companies that still hand-build sports cars. And so you just don't see that. You know, not from like Chrysler. They are always like the third party, you know?
Yep.
They were the one under the line.
Yeah, Stellantis North America are the ones that own Chrysler.
Yes, there you go. And the umbrella that they are and the cars that are underneath of it is just impressive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a completely different universe if we ever had something where Ford did buy. Oh man, I couldn't even imagine, like, just for what Ferraris are and what they've been their entire history and what Ford's racing team ended up being. Oh man, I couldn't even imagine a Ford Ferrari combination. That would be something to see.
You know, this happened back when in the 60s,
like 1963
63 to 66. Yeah, and Here we are. We move all this time, like you said. And you would think that would have been it. He proved his point, made a statement in the world, and yet he decides that, well, not him. He's no longer here. But,
right,
you know, they come out with the Ford GT.
Yeah.
You know, so here we are all this time later. And, you know, like, you can't buy a Ford GT. You have to be on a list. And only high, like, stars and other high people get that. And they have to sign a contract when they buy that car. So if you sell it within a certain amount of time, you're, like, blacklisted from Ford and you won't get another one. It's just like, at any rate, the car that came out is just like a Ferrari. I mean, so he's still, or today Ford is still... You know, it makes you wonder why they didn't buy Ferrari, because they're still trying to be them on a certain level.
On a certain level, yeah, absolutely.
And that's their racing division. So.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, the GTs are just, wow, they're just really cool race cars. They really are. I didn't know this. Go ahead.
Your boy, John Cena.
Yep.
He got one and he sold it right away. And he got in a lot of trouble for it.
Yeah, he did.
So
yes, he did.
They and of course now they have just come out with a brand new Mustang. Right off the top of my head, I forget it. I've seen the pictures of it. But we're talking about this Mustang is $366,000 to buy.
Yep.
It's just a Mustang.
Yep.
It's street legal and it sits on the showroom floor, but you got to have $360,000 to buy
it. Oh, yeah. That's...
So I've just never seen anything like it, you know.
Yeah.
Or it looks like a regular Mustang, but it's beefed, you know, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Let's see. The Ford Mustang 7th generation... May 2023 to present. Designer was Chris Stevens. Yeah, this thing looks... Yeah. It's very sleek. It's very, very sleek. But yeah, seventh generation of Mustang. Jeez.
No, that's the only car they have that is still, you know, gas powered. Everything else is all electric.
Everything else is all electric. Mm-hmm. As a car person, as an engine person, all that, how do you feel about the electric stuff?
It's funny how they get you to believe that you're doing the environment good, because that is false. It hurts our environment. What it does to produce a battery for these cars, it tears up the earth, something fierce, number one. Mm-hmm. And they say, okay, it's going to be cheaper to own. That's wrong. You got to sit there and plug it up, and that costs electricity. Well, who pays for your electricity? You do. Yep. And if it's not at your home, you have to stop in and get one of those. And you don't think they will charge you for that? But biggest downfall of all of this is they tell you, oh, you'll get 316 miles, you know, on one charge.
Yep.
That's only if you drive it with no air conditioner, no radio, no nothing. Every time you turn on an option inside that car, you're taking away from the mileage of that. So you go from, say, 350 miles of one filling, and you're jamming the radio, got the air conditioner going, and all this other things. You now just took it down to 150 miles.
Yeah.
And it takes, I mean, now if you get a fast charge, it's still going to take you, or what they call a supercharge. Mm-hmm. It costs you more money, and it still takes a little over an hour.
Yeah.
So in just the regular charge, you're talking 6 to 8 hours, just depending. So let me ask you, how do you feel about that? You want to take a trip somewhere? And yeah, I know you. You can't ride anywhere without the AC on.
Well, if it's summertime, I can. If it's winter, I'm more than fine. But
it's going to be okay when you have to pull off and charge, and it's going to take 6 hours to charge?
No, probably not. But and then again, I don't leave the house half the time, so, you know.
I'm right there with you, but seriously, I mean.
Yeah, no, I mean.
So many cons than there are pros.
Yeah, and it's funny, the old argument of, oh, gas and fossil fuels and all this. It's like, which do we want to get rid of? The gas and using up the fossil fuels, or getting rid of the electricity? And I don't know. I don't drive, so I have no real stake in the game as far as being a driver kind of thing. But I've seen some people point out some advantages to electric. But other than that, yeah, I don't know.
I'll never own one. Even if I have to go out and buy a scooter. I'll be driving a scooter back and forth places, because I just won't own an electric car. The thing of it is, they're lying to you about it, and it's all politics. And, you know, they're trying to make it to where that's the only car you can buy is electric. And it hurts the earth more than gas cars do. Sorry, it just does. And I've read too much about it, and it's just what it does after they're done getting all those ingredients out of the ground. I mean, the ground, it's useless afterwards. It is completely and utterly useless.
Yep.
They've destroyed it so bad, because it's not like they're like other mines where you're going in there for coal, or you're going in there for diamonds, or you're going in there. They have to go and get like three different things, and so it's just
because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure The Cinema Geek,
hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Anyway.
Yep.
Back to the movie.
Yes. this car commercial break is brought to you by blah 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 blah. Yeah. But yeah, so again, I never really followed the story. Like, I'd always heard about Shelby. I always heard about how crazy he was and how innovative he was and everything else. And I know that there were other people in the running to play him, but I can't see anybody else other than Matt playing him. I think Matt did a perfect job.
You know, when you do think of how he was, I mean, he was just a pure grabbing by the bull or grabbing by the horns.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at actors that could have played him, I think there are a lot of options that could have been. But ultimately, Matt just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, he did. Especially with how he and Miles with Bale, how they have to play off of each other.
Bale was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I've watched a lot of his movies, and I think he's one of more of the, he just can change in an instant for any role.
Yep.
And to watch him in this movie, I mean, not only did maybe he look the part, but, I mean, it's like he took the man's soul for this mm-hmm. movie. And, you know, like, and you take him in another movie where, you know, it was about the shortfall of the realtor or the crumble of whatever it was. I think it's called the big ball or the big something.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way he takes part of their soul and just puts it into him, and I don't know how he does it, but he knocked this one out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, he did.
To a T, mm-hmm. just like how he was.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, you've got, like I said, Bernthal as Iacocca, and I've only really seen Bernthal in the Punisher series. I haven't really seen him in, I mean, he's done other things, but I mean,
yeah, but it's good to see him in roles like this.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, he did a good job on that. And it's just, you know, I'm like you, that's what you know him for is those type of movies. So when he was in this and I was like, oh wow. Okay, cool. You know, just, and this is where I'm horrible with names, but you know, when Christian Bale and his son, you know, in the movie, when they went to, they're waiting on Damon to come in. Of course, Damon's flying the airplane. But they were looking at the Mustang that they had just unveiled. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, that guy comes over and says, you know, son, don't touch that car, blah, blah, blah. Even his role was perfect. I think he was one more of the upper chiefs, like the right-hand man of Mr. Ford. And, you know, he played it. Just all the roles were perfect, man.
Yeah, Leo Beebe, played by Josh Lucas. Beebe was the vice president of Ford.
Okay.
I think that's who you're thinking of.
Yeah, he played a great part, man.
Yeah.
It made you feel like you were back there in those times.
Oh, yeah. Know? And that's one of the cool things about some of these period pieces or some of these pieces that are like movies that are projecting things from the past or telling stories from the past is that you can do all kinds of special effects and everything else today. You can do all kinds of green screen with Star Wars and Star Trek and all that's well, good and fine and whatever else. But I have been missing for a while now the old style of filmmaking, and this very much to me, falls into the old style of filmmaking, car crashes, everything else, and all that. It has everything, even though it is a semi-biographical type film. It's, you know, it's a sports drama film. It's a race, like, really, seriously, in the last, okay, there are some, but I would say in the last, I don't know, 30-something years, Days of Thunder and this are the two main racing movies that I remember the most at this point. There are, like I said, there are some others, but they're...
No, that's not, that's not even a comparison.
Well, no.
I mean, during the time, Days of Thunder was good.
Yeah.
It was really good, but take this film, and it's just, everything is so period correct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, it's night and day between those two films, but I know exactly what you're saying.
It's just an older style of filmmaking. It's a more traditional style of filmmaking, which is sorely missed, because everybody's like, oh, let's just throw it on a green screen. Well, it's good for a fake raccoon with a voice, but not for everything.
Yeah, you can make a movie where 70% of it is done inside a building.
Mm-hmm.
It's not much of a movie. I mean, I guess it could be, but...
Yeah, you know. I mean, it can be, but it's just like... Again, it's a different style of filmmaking kind of thing, where, like, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, we had all the traditional effects and, you know, a lot of the effects that they could do now on green screen, they had to figure it out back then, how to actually do it on actual cameras and everything else.
Perfect example is, you know, we're watching all these movies and all of a sudden Matrix comes out and we're all just like, whoa.
Yep.
You know, I remember even before I saw the movie, even our local news was talking about how it was the only film of its kind due to the way it was made. And, you know, so I was excited to go see it. And then when I saw it, to this day, it was still one of the better movies I've seen, just enough to get you, you know, it's kind of like the old Rocky film where you watch and you come out and you're ready to, you know, punch the guy who was sitting next to you or whatever, just because you were hyped up.
Yep. Absolutely. And in the movie, as we get to the point of the 66, 24 hours of Daytona, like I said, this movie is very serious, but there are funny moments in it. And the funniest moment, I think, for me is when he had the issue with the door.
Yeah. Yes. That was great. So he rode around with it for the longest time, holding it, and they pull into the pits, and they try it. And,
yeah, that was
you the... You say that, mine is more of a very simple, simple part that maybe a lot of people didn't even pick up. But it's like when after all that's done and all, you know, Bell is pretty much finished and now he's trying to figure out what he's going to do. And then Shelby, like, comes to the house and knocks on the door and the wife's there and like you could tell she was not happy with Shelby. And then all of a sudden he pulls up and he has groceries or whatever, I think, and takes them up to the house and then comes out and sits in the car
with his son.
Yeah. But then he gets in the car with Shelby and they're sitting there. Of course, this is towards the end and his wife's at the door. And then Shelby and him just take off. And the wife is just like standing there like, why am I not surprised? It's the simple things like that. It's like, can you imagine her going through this whole long term of what Shelby put him through?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, he did all this for his family. There's so many things. Points like that that I picked up on in this movie that I usually don't pick up in movies. It was just really, really good. And I didn't think I would like it as much as I did, to be honest with you. It's just not the racing I've ever been into. I'm more stock car racing and this and that and the other, so I was not that excited about that. But It was halfway through, I found myself with my mouth wide open, you know, just like, wow, you know.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was a good movie. It's not something I'm probably going to rewatch anytime soon now that I've watched it previously and obviously for the podcast, but it was, especially in 2019, it was like right when this released, it was right before the pandemic and everything hit, and you just kind of needed something, even though I didn't see it until 2021. But like, I feel like certain films get released at certain times where we just kind of need them at that time. And this movie, even though I saw it way later, like, oh, wow. This is cool as hell. And again, it's a car movie. Yes, you're right. Most of the stuff we like, or most of the stuff that we like and really watch or pay attention to, is like stock car, NASCAR, stuff like that. But again, this is American history kind of thing.
Part of history.
Yeah, absolutely. Because without this, there probably wouldn't be NASCAR. They even mentioned that the NASCAR, they do a NASCAR was at one of the races. I forget which race it was in the movie, but they were there. The NASCAR team was there, and it's like, oh, really? That's interesting. Mm-hmm. This movie was just very, very fun. I think between Christian Bale, between Matt Damon, between Bernthal and everybody else that was in it, the acting was well done. The just the sheer speed of the driving. Oh, man. Just
it did receive 4 nominations. I mean, yep. So obviously a lot more people liked it than what, you know, than just you and I.
Oh yeah, oh absolutely. It's a very good movie, absolutely.
Yeah, but to look at it, it looks like nothing that I would have watched, and then here we are and the film's off and I've watched and I've seen it, and like I said, not only did it satisfy my just movie clicker thing inside of me or whatever, but you know, to find out that it was brought up for those nominations, and just the fact that it started out as just, you know, producers were like, hey, what if we did this and that, and then, you know, they take something that is not big to, I would honestly say, 60% of the world, you know, and they turn it into, well, like you said, a main part of history that, and it was filmed that way. Like, the history of this was just much more than what people had ever imagined and how serious it was. Yeah. That's phenomenal when somebody can do that and portray that in a movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this thing, like you said, was nominated for a bunch of stuff, but it also won a bunch of stuff. Specifically, it won a lot of sound design and mixing for motion picture awards. Like, it won the British Academy Film Awards Best Sound. Or no, it was nominated for that. It won for Best Editing, but it won Best Sound Editing for the Academy Awards here in the States. And it's like, yeah, because this film has, like we were talking earlier about gas versus electric, and electric can try to mimic gas sounds all at once, but there ain't nothing like the Ford GT40 engine just blowing your ears out.
Yeah. Because it's just a whole different sound.
The sound in this movie was just so good.
Yeah. And bottom line, still fits everything. I mean, Ford has always talked about reliability and how their car should be, and, you know, even into racing, that was one of their main focuses when they put this car together, which is why they wanted to run, you know, the Daytona, you know, the 24 hours of Daytona, whatever. They wanted to say, hey, not only can we build a car that competes with Ferrari, but we can do it better and our car will run better and be more reliable. And I mean, that's something they've done since day one, since, you know, they still do it today. That's what they preach, you know.
Yep.
So they still kept the company's parts in line and didn't, I don't know, they didn't, what do you call it? They didn't gas it up, you know, like,
yeah,
make it look like
they didn't fake it.
Yeah, they weren't gaslighting anything.
No,
it was all it was like you had the main core of companies and then you had the main core of the actors and just the era, the time. Mm-hmm. And they stuck to that. They didn't try to do anything extra. They didn't try to, like, you know, we've seen a lot of movies to where, you know, like when you're watching a car movie, they might go a little overboard of like where you'll say they can't really do that in that car. You know, but it's a very cool scene, but you know, yeah, they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
This, everything you saw was like, not only can they do that, you have probably seen it a time or two. Yeah. In a situation where you've been driving somewhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, we see it in the races all the time, whether it's NASCAR, whether it's IndyCar, whether it's whatever. I mean, you see, you know, even Le Mans and all that, like these people, these mechanics and all that and everything else, they do amazing work, and it's just fun. And to encapsulate that in a movie that's, I think, just under or over 2 hours, something like that. I forget.
I think it was kind of lengthy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 152 minutes, so it was just over 2 hours, about 2.5. For 2.5 hours, they fit a lot of history in there, and I love that. I think that's great.
It taught me a lot of things. Just even as minor as it may have been, I thought it was very cool. You know, mm-hmm. I found myself saying, wow, that really happened? You know, whether mm-hmm. it did or not, I mean, I trusted it did happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The director for this film was James Mangold, and I looked into his filmography, and I'm like, oh, okay. So he did Copland in 97, he did Girl Interrupted in 99, Kate and Leopold in 2001, Walk the Line in 2005, 310 to Yuma in 2007, Night and Day with Tom Cruise, I believe, in 2010, and then The Wolverine and Logan, so 2013 for The Wolverine and 2017 for Logan, this in 2019, and I did not know because I have not been paying attention to it because, for me, Indiana Jones stops at The Last Crusade, but he directed the fifth Indiana Jones movie, too.
Wow.
I don't know if I'll ever see that film. I just can't. I don't know.
I watched part of it, and I figured since I'm streaming it, I can pause it and come back a couple of days later. So that's when I know, to me, I'm not that interested. But
yeah, exactly.
If you talk about the movies he made, that is an impressive list. I loved Copland.
Yeah, and it's a short list. I mean, his debut wasn't Copland. It was a movie called Heavy, which is 2 years before that. But he debuted as a director. He debuted in 1995. So from 95 to 2019, and just, I mean, you don't have to be a director or a writer or an actor who has like 40 or 50 or 70 films under your belt to just everything I just listed. Most of those movies are pretty damn good.
I've seen a lot of those, and yep. I loved every one of them.
Yep, absolutely.
The ones that I did see.
Yeah. So would we recommend this film to people? I would recommend this film to people if they are into racing movies or if they want to know car history. I don't know if I would recommend it to everyday Joe Schmo on the street kind of thing. What about you?
I mean, I would think that whether you're into cars or not, it would be a movie that you'd want to see just for the pure fact of so many things of that time frame were happening, and it just makes for a good movie. I mean, okay, you don't like cars? Well, I mean, everything else that you got to see, how Mustang came along, and, you know, just everybody knows about the 65 Mustang, you know. Even if you don't know cars, everybody knows about that car. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just think it's cool to find out how that car came about and, you know, things of that nature. And then you see the family life or the works of a family that are not way up or well off. And, you know, that family gets a chance at making something. Yeah. And so there's a lot of different elements, but yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the Miles family and Ken trying to provide for his family, that it's very much a, it's not coming of age, because coming of age to me is like high school going into college kind of thing. It's not like a high school football going into college. It's more of a thing of, like you said, he's trying to provide for his family and winning these races and getting the chance to drive the prestige of driving Le Mans. Like, that's money in the bank.
And look how much he suffered, or his family suffered for that.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, for careers like racing, unfortunately, there has to be some suffering, and it sucks. I don't want to see anybody suffer, but it's just one of those things where, when you sacrifice stuff to reach a goal, that's what ends up happening, sadly. But it worked. Well, I wouldn't say it worked out in the end, since he ended up dying. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a movie that people should watch if they want to just, like I said before, learn about the history of it, or if they like racing, or if they just want a fun movie, really. Because really, at the end of the day, for me, it was fun watching this. Really fun.
Yeah. Now, imagine if this film was going to basically be shot the original way that the studios wanted it to be shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the film would have turned out, but you're talking about, I think it would have been way too glorified, because, you know, you're talking about bringing in actors like Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt to be the main stars.
That wouldn't have worked.
But that's what they wanted.
Right. I know. That's what they wanted. That would not have worked.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, you know, when that fell apart, that they brought in your director that you were talking about.
James Mangold, yep.
Yeah, and he went and took it upon himself, and that's where he found Bale and Damon for the lead roles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this film got very lucky, because I can't imagine it being mainstream like that with, not saying that they're bad actors.
No. It's just not the role for, it's just not a role that you could see them playing, because you know what their history is. It's not that they're bad actors at all.
No, it's just, the film would have suffered.
Yeah. Because it would have been a completely different film, and you wouldn't have, like, you wouldn't have the rough and tumble scrappiness of both Shelby and Miles. Like, Shelby was a genius, but he was a maniac. Miles was, I don't want to say he was desperate, but like you've said, and like we've said, talked about, he had a situation with his family. He had to provide for his family. He was going to do whatever. Like, I think there's a scene in the movie where the company is trying to push off Miles and not have him drive at first. And Shelby's going to bat for him, and Miles is in there saying, look, you put me in this car, I will get it to go what we need to get it to go. And there's even a scene where Damon says, go like hell. And he hits up over 7,000. Like, holy crap. Like, I couldn't see Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt in that. Like, I would be thinking Days of Thunder and Seven, for crap's sake. You know, like, I just could not see them in these roles, because they're not roles that I think would have been made for them. So it's great that they ended up switching the director and Mangold got who he got. And we're, like you said, we're here talking about it and enjoying the conversation and enjoying the film.
They did. He did go try to talk to Harrison Ford. Now, that would have been great. I just think he would have fit into that film a lot better. But, you know, other choices were just as well, but that would have been
yep.
gold to me. And obviously, with him directing these films you talked about, he has some good relationships with some great actors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anything else you want to say about the movie? Anything we missed?
Just that it's one of those that fills your insides with everything you need. You really don't leave after the movie without having one of those, I wonder if, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to do with a movie.
It's hard to do with a movie like this. Normally in these movie episodes that we do here inside Studio 2009, I will ask a question of, are you itching to watch the next movie now kind of thing, if there was a sequel. But there isn't a sequel to this, because this is what I've been saying, that this is more for the audience and you as well, but I've been saying this on the show recently. I miss these types of films where it's beginning, middle, and end. One story. You don't have to worry about 10 different sequels that come after it. You don't have to worry about anything else. It's a fully fledged out story that has an ending. The ending here is a little sad because Miles ended up dying, but overall, the movie is damn good. And it's just one of those things where, I wonder what else they're going to do with other car movies in the future. But at the end of this, both times that I watched this movie, I was satisfied. I did not need to see more from this after this story kind of thing.
And the best thing is that it had a storyline and it stuck to it. It didn't break off in 10, 12 mm-hmm. different directions and then come back to the end at the storyline. It was one storyline. You stuck with it. You knew everything was going on. It wasn't one of those movies where I say, hey, you got to pay attention because it does this, this, and this. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very easy movie to watch, and you just can't. I mean, it's perfect as far as the way it was put together.
Absolutely. So 0 to 5 stars, what would you rate it?
I'd say a 4-star.
Yeah.
And the only reason why it's not getting that 5-star is because it was just a limited, what do you call that, where a genre type thing where a lot of people don't have interest in that type of thing. Can you imagine if it was a movie where everybody had an interest in the story?
Mm-hmm.
It would be a 5-star by, you know, and set all kinds of records. That's how good the film was to me.
Yeah.
But because it was a car movie, a lot of people didn't get to see this.
And not everything can be fives, and a 4 is not a bad rating at all. I mean, 4 is pretty damn good, and like we said, we enjoyed it. So with that, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yes. Yep.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about The New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We can give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin, that's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get it soon. I hope. Come out to play. A New Warriors podcast comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Longbox Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Longbox Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors, come out to play.
Hi everyone, I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it, here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast, it's audio justice.
No, it's audio chaos, these wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast, from the universe and beyond.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, we're back here inside Studio 2009. We've kind of given our final thoughts on the film. Anything else you want to say, sir, before I run through the closing?
For the first time of me doing this, well, first of all, I had a great time reuniting with you. That, you know, I missed that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that by itself is, it is what it is. I don't expect the audience to know that much, but this was fun. It was very fun. I've never done anything like this before. So for me, it was double joy because I got to hang out with an old friend and, you know, talk about the things that we always enjoyed. So it was great. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I remember when this, again, even though I didn't see Ford versus Ferrari until 2 years after it came out, as soon as I saw the trailer for this when it got announced in 19, I was like, oh, that's it. I know Sean is more into NASCAR, but that's definitely a Sean movie. It's got cars in it. It's got loud sounds. He's going to like it regardless that it's the Le Mans part of the stuff. So yeah, that was always the plan.
I was ready.
Yep. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment, listen to, and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the major podcatching clients like Spotify and other things. iTunes is still a thing. You can leave us feedback in iTunes. It's still around. You can follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network at It's Studio 2009, all one word for the show. I am at TFGN Mike. What is your Twitter, sir?
Old Schools. OLDSKOOLZ. Twitter.
Very cool. You can find on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. GeekCast Radio is on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. Instagram for me is TFG and Mike Presents. GeekCast Radio is, I think it's just GeekCast Radio Network. What's your Instagram?
Mine is at widebody with a dash for my car. I have a Challenger widebody, so I made it just for the car.
Nice. That's awesome. Next time, folks, the Three Mikes, Three Furious will be back as we celebrate. It was a little late at the end of last year, and I couldn't fit it in. But last year, I did a lot of 30th anniversaries or 20th anniversaries from 2003 to 2023. And I just couldn't fit the Italian Job from 2003 in. So my buddies Mike Seibert and Michael Andrews are going to join me. And we're going to talk about 2003's The Italian Job with Mark Wahlberg and Charlize Theron and Donald Sutherland and a bunch of other things. For now, I am TFU and Mike with
Sean Doerr, Mr. Old Schools on Facebook.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.